Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Brian Artis. This is the Dr. Artis Show, and I'm very thrilled and excited to present to you a new podcast, a new PowerPoint presentation about natural solutions to heart disease. But we're going to be discussing, and the title of this is how negative emotions are implicated in heart disease. And then what are the natural solutions to heart disease and emotional trauma or stress that a lot of us deal with, anxiety, depression, you name it, being overwhelmed. So, I think everybody is aware that there is a direct correlation to anxiety, stress, and heart disease. The more stress we're under, the higher the amounts of cortisol we have, the more stress that puts on the heart, obviously. We know that, right? Do you know what the solution is typically by the medical profession if you're dealing with stress, anxiety, panic disorders that we know has a negative impact on the cardiovascular health of an individual? Do you know what the number one recommendation for all of them is when they're dealing with stress that leads to worsening heart disease and increasing risk for strokes, heart attacks, aneurysms? Do you know what they recommend? Antidepressants are their number one go-to. What if I told you there are six of the most common antidepressants that are prescribed to anybody dealing with high amounts of stress that are actually published and known to increase your risk of developing cardiovascular disease, stroke, and heart failure? The six most common antidepressants, regardless if you have a history of heart disease or a family risk factor of heart disease, I'm about to show you that medical science already knows antidepressants, six of the most common, directly cause heart disease, even when you didn't have it before you were prescribed the drug. Wouldn't you like to know what that is? Because I'm going to present to you several nutrients, vitamins, herbs, minerals, and an amino acid, actually, that are published to reduce the risk factors of heart disease, even from stress. So if you don't want worsening heart disease, increasing your risk factor of death from heart disease, from the stress you're under, you might want to avoid the antidepressants I'm about to show you. So hang on. Remember, if you like this, if you know people who are stressed out, you're worried about their heart health, their overall health, regardless, you might want to share this information with them. Remember, you can go to the resources tab at thedrartisshow.com. You can download the PowerPoint titled How Negative Emotions Cause Heart Disease and Natural Solutions. Just download the PowerPoint, send it to the rest of them. I'm going to walk you through the PowerPoint now. I hope you enjoy this. I'm very excited to present this and the shocking information about the six most common antidepressants that cause heart disease and are proven to do so. Couldn't wait to make sure you knew the truth about this stuff. Informed consent. Anybody? Here we go. Let's dive in. All right. Scan the QR code for anybody who's new here, who may not be familiar with the Dr. Artis Show platform. I will show this slide every time I do a PowerPoint and a podcast. Scan the QR code, put in your email, and we'll notify you when our next free podcast and presentation on the health topic, and this usually one a week, but we'll notify you when those are coming. All right, this is the National Heart Month is February of every year, which is why we're doing this presentation today. Welcome to February 2026, which is when this is being recorded. This is National Heart Month. All right, now, according to the American Heart Association, this is the American Heart Association's website, they have an article titled Stress and Heart Health. Stress, mental health, and your heart, out of this article from heart.org. Stress may contribute to your poor health behaviors, linked to increased risk for heart disease and stroke, they say. So stress may contribute to poor health behaviors, linked to increased heart disease. This is the medical profession. They know it. So these behaviors related to stress, they say, increase your risk for heart disease. Look at the highlighted. Smoking, overeating, not getting enough physical activity, eating an unhealthy diet, being overweight, not taking medications as prescribed. Oh my God, wait till you see what I'm about to show you here in a little bit. What is chronic stress? Chronic stress is when you experience stress for a long period of time and your body is in high gear, off and on for days or weeks at a time. Chronic stress may lead to high blood pressure, which can increase risk for heart attacks and stroke. This is the correlation of stress to heart disease and worsening heart disease. Can managing stress reduce or prevent heart disease? Negative psychological and mental health is associated with an increased risk of heart disease and stroke. Meanwhile, says heart.org, American Heart Association, meanwhile, positive positive psychological health is associated with a lower risk of heart disease and death. Negative mental health conditions include burnout, depression, anxiety, anger, pessimism, dissatisfaction with life. I love my life. I hope you love yours. These conditions are associated with potentially harmful bodily responses, the ones listed above, which include these, says medicine. Negative mental health conditions listed above can lead to irregular heart rate and rhythm, tachycardia, bradycardia, arrhythmias. Just so you know, your cardiologist will never tell you this. They're just going to tell you you need Eliquis for atrial fibrillation. You need some prescription drug you're deficient in. No. Negative emotions do this too. They know it. Negative emotions and behaviors include increase digestive problems, increase blood pressure, inflammation, and reduce blood flow to the heart. Now, stay here with me, everybody. Look at the third one, the bullet point highlighted on the screen. Negative emotions or stress leads to increased blood pressure. Do you know what 100% of all people in America are told is the cause of their blood pressure being high? It's genetic. You inherit it. No, you inherit high blood pressure also from just living a stressed out life. Now, let's counter that with the opposite. Heart.org mentions in the article, positive mental health characteristics are this. Are individuals that have happiness, optimism, gratitude, sense of purpose and life satisfaction, and mindfulness. And then people with positive mental health are also more likely to have health factors linked to a lower risk of developing heart disease, such as lowered blood pressure in those who are happy and more positive, better glucose control, diabetes, anybody. The more positive you are, your body even manages blood sugar better. That's what medicine knows. There's less inflammation in the body. Anybody with arthritic tendencies of any kind or autoimmune diseases? Did you know positive thinking lowers inflammation, proven by medical science? It also lowers your cholesterol. Did you know that? Well, instead of being told your cholesterol is high and you are now a risk factor for heart disease, could you imagine if they just told you you should go do some meditating, praying, or go find some creative outlets for you that bring you joy and happiness? That can lower your cholesterol versus a statin. Now, I throw these two slides in here for this reason. If you want to know the impact of emotions on the physical body, there's no better book that I think summarizes it than Carol Truman's book, Feelings Buried Alive, Never Die. So I've literally had this in every treatment room in my practice for 20-something years when I would start explaining to people that emotions, positive and negative, have a direct physical impact on your body, even leading to medical diagnoses. This book is incredible. And then how to release them on your own, these negative traumas, do some self-analysis and self-treating, actually, is The Emotion Code by Dr. Bradley Nelson, which I use every day in my personal life and have since 2009, when Dr. Bradley Nelson taught me how to use his principles there, taught in the book, The Emotion Code. All right, this is back to the American Heart Association. Their website is heart.org. This is another article. Anger's role in heart attack risk may start in the arteries. Short bursts of anger may temporarily damage the ability of blood vessels to properly dilate or open up, a function believed to be pivotal in preventing arteries from hardening. Now remember, if the blood vessels, which are made of muscle, can continue to contract and relax, they will not harden. If they stay dilated from stress, or say constricted from stress, if they stay constricted, the blood pressure goes up inside the tube that's now smaller, and it will harden there, and that's called atherosclerosis. Now, read the next statement. Anger is bad for your blood vessel function, said lead study author Dr. Dalky Shimbo, a cardiologist. Anger. As we were building out this research presentation, I actually was thinking about everybody standing at the Capitol building on January 6th. They weren't happy. They were angry. And I just remember thinking, this is really sad that individuals who are being polarized by hate speech and propaganda in the media who fall victim and prey to anger and hate. Did you know anger is bad for your blood vessel function? And cardiologists know it. It impairs the function of your arteries, which is linked to future heart attack risk. Ask your cardiologist if anger is right for you. Observational studies have established a clear link between negative emotions, including anger, anxiety, and sadness, and an increased risk for heart attacks and strokes. This is why I believe when Patch Adams said, laughter is the best medicine, I believe them. Emotions and the Heart. This is Current Problems in Cardiology, published in 2025. Emotions and the Heart, exploring the impact of negative emotions on cardiovascular health. Now, we're going to go into some very scientific research studies, and you just need to see what they know about negative emotions and heart disease, which is not related to genetics, by the way. So you're going to be told every heart problem, strokes, heart attacks, coronary vascular disease, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, you're going to be told all of this is genetic, and they're just going to blame it on genetics and put you on drugs for the rest of your life. No. It is proven that emotions can create it all by itself, regardless of genetics. So there is an intricate relationship between negative emotions and cardiovascular health. Such emotions can elicit chronic stress responses, resulting in disease-causing, which is the term, pathophysiological mechanisms that increase inflammation and activate the sympathetic nervous system, your fight-or-flight system. This cascade of effects can negatively contribute to conditions such as Takotsubo, cardiomyopathy, which is heart disease, accelerated atherosclerosis, which is hardening of your arteries, plaque rupture, which is a blood clot being released and going off and clogging up your heart and causing a heart attack, and cardiac arrhythmias, including atrial fibrillation. Negative emotions. Positive emotions such as joy and happiness also play a significant protective role, allowing for parasympathetic nervous system, your immune system side of the nervous system, the relaxation side of your immune system, not the fight or flight side, allowing for the immune system side of your nervous system's dominance. Joy does this. Laughter is the best medicine. You're not laughing when you're sad, angry, upset. Positive emotions also affect endothelial function, the inside lining of your arteries and blood vessels where plaque forms. Positive emotions also affect endothelial function, allowing for improved vasodilation of your blood vessels and blood flow, reducing the risk of atherosclerosis, hardening of your arteries, leading to increased blood pressure. Studies have indicated that greater exposure to positive emotions can raise the threshold at which negative emotions impact the cardiovascular system. Isn't that amazing? The more positive you are, the less negative stress impacts the heart when you have negative emotions. Now, this is from Psychology Today, a very reputable psychology online medical journal and publication. There's this article, "Negative Emotions Can Increase the Risk of Heart Disease." In this study, Dr. Giannaros wanted to explore the neural brain responses triggered by psychological stress and emotion regulation to predict current levels of preclinical atherosclerosis. Stroke and heart attacks are the result of progressive damage to blood vessels via a process called atherosclerosis. Atherosclerosis, also known as hardening of the arteries, is a disease in which plaque builds up inside your arteries. Over time, the plaque hardens and narrows your arteries, which reduce the flow of blood and can lead to serious problems, including heart attacks, strokes, and death. Atherosclerosis progresses more quickly when there are high levels of pro-inflammatory cytokines like interleukin-6 in the body. Persistent negative emotions are believed to increase the risk for atherosclerosis and cardiovascular disease by raising the levels of pro-inflammatory causing chemicals in the body like interleukin-6. So I just want you to see, even Psychology Today recognizes there's a correlation to negative emotions, anger, frustration, pissed offness, and heart disease and hardening of your arteries and plaque formation. Now, in the American Heart Association's medical journal called Circulation, which is online, they have this article at AmericanHeartAssociationJournals.org. This is the association between mental health burden, clinical presentation, and outcomes in individuals with symptomatic, they feel symptoms, so they're reporting them to their doctor, peripheral artery disease, legs and arms. They're having problems there. Blood clots, varicose veins, spider veins, you name it. DVTs, deep vein thrombosis, blood clots. This is a scientific statement from the American Heart Association. Read along with me. Understanding related disease mechanisms linking trauma and stress to worsening peripheral artery disease is key to additionally supported. Oh, Raynaud's disease would be in this also. Is key to additionally support mental health as a treatment goal in overall peripheral artery disease management. What is PAD? I just wanted to make sure you guys understood this when I said peripheral artery disease. Peripheral artery disease is when arteries in your limbs, usually your legs, are narrowed, limiting blood flow. Atherosclerosis is the most common cause. And you'll see some examples of what it looks like up there. And we've all seen legs like this. Now let's read this highlighted statement. As a result of the prolonged activation and imbalance, there is a heightened physiological response to acute stress, interacting also with chronic stressors that further cause more downstream peripheral, out in your arms and legs, effects at the neuroendocrine brain hormone, sympathetic and behavioral levels, with increased inflammation, platelet reactivity, which would be blood clotting, hypertension, high blood pressure, central obesity, and endothelial dysfunction being examples of these effects, the inside of your arteries and veins. Trauma and stress have been associated with increased oxidative stress, which causes all diseases, impaired endothelial dysfunction, which is why plaque ever forms in your arteries, increased vascular inflammation, and arterial stiffness, which is linked to the activation of the HPA axis, they call it, for those in the know. That's an acronym for hypothalamic, part of your brain, pituitary, adrenal axis. Hypothalamic expression of oxidative stress markers, increased cortisol levels, which leads to insomnia and belly fat, insulin resistance, obesity, inflammation, and vascular endothelial and platelet dysfunction. All of these factors contribute to atherosclerosis and worsening peripheral artery disease, trauma, and distress. Further, these two considerations, they write, further highlight the importance of addressing mental health from a person-centered, humanistic, and ethical perspective, as well as from a biological and pathophysiological perspective. When you're looking at the human who is sick and has complaints of symptoms, even cardiovascular illness, we need to be looking at the whole human, including the mental health. Yeah, you do. Do any medications increase heart disease? This, I cannot wait to show you. This is from Psychiatry Research Medical Journal, dated 2023. Cardiovascular toxicity induced by antidepressants called SSRIs. Let's read that again slowly. Cardiovascular heart arteries veins toxicity induced by antidepressants. Analysis of spontaneous report submitted to FAERS, not VAERS, FAERS. Based on our research finding, there exists a correlation between SSRIs and both torsed de points, QT prolongation, and cardiac arrhythmias with a relatively strong signal. You don't even have to know what torsed de points is, but QT prolongation and cardiac arrhythmias, you're going to have a very clear understanding of what those are. Here we go. SSRIs are known to induce QT wave prolongation. Now, I'm going to show you what that means, actually. What does prolonged QT mean? These are SSRIs that create what's called prolonged QT. Here we go. Look at the screen, bottom left. That is a normal heartbeat. You have what's called the P wave, Q wave, R wave, S wave, and the T wave, and you see them on there. And you see in yellow, it says this is a normal wave. So remember, they said that SSRIs, antidepressants, cause a prolonged QT. So let's see what that means. Well, from Q to T, the Q wave, that dip to the T wave of a heartbeat, that distance is longer with someone who has a prolonged QT wave. So you'll notice the distance is farther from the Q wave of the heartbeat to the T wave. That is called long QT syndrome. Now, above this, so this would be from an ECG, but above these two graphics on the screen, now that you know what the QT interval is and antidepressants cause what's on the right, I want to show you this statement here. A prolonged QT or long QT syndrome, read it with me. In severe cases, it can lead to life-threatening arrhythmias. Arrhythmias are changes in your heart rhythm. Life-threatening means you die. So a prolonged QT wave, in some cases can kill you. I think you should know that. But let's read the first sentence in that paragraph, because I think you should all read this with me. Long QT syndrome is a medication side effect that can cause your heart to beat abnormally. I repeat, long QT syndrome is a medication side effect, not genetic. You didn't inherit atrial fibrillation from your mom and dad, from your grandma and grandpa who had heart disease. No, no, no. Your arrhythmias, your tachycardia, your bradycardia, your atrial fibrillation, no, is a published side effect of medications. Which, by the way, I repeat, and let's just tie these two statements together. Long QT syndrome is a medication side effect that can lead, I quote, to life-threatening arrhythmias. Ask your doctor if SSRIs or medications that cause life-threatening arrhythmias are right for you. Ask your cardiologist if life-threatening arrhythmias are right for you. That's QT prolongation, all of you, and it is a published medication side effect, not a genetically inherited disorder. Here we go. QT prolongation increases the risk of severe cardiac arrhythmias, such as torsade de pointes and ventricular fibrillation. And yes, I know, I'm probably mispronouncing torsade de pointes. I'm not a cardiologist. I'm just reading it. Drugs that block the ERG potassium channel can lead to acquired QT interval prolongation, causing that long QT wave. Notice, drugs that block ERG potassium channels can lead to acquired, not inherited. Acquired means a drug caused it. Acquired QT interval prolongation. This results in a deceleration of potassium outflow, prolongation of the repolarization period, and thus an elevated risk of developing severe arrhythmias, which I quote, they just said to you, is a life-threatening arrhythmia. Studies have demonstrated that citalopram, fluoxetine, sertraline, and fluvoxamine are inhibitors of this ERG potassium channel. Cardiac arrhythmia is another commonly reported side effect. Now, I want you guys to understand something. I love doing these research studies. I love presenting this information to you. But I want you to understand something about medical science and research. So drug companies, governments are paying for this research. And when they publish stuff like this, this statement, studies have demonstrated that the drug citalopram, fluoxetine, sertraline, and fluvoxamine are inhibitors of ERG, leading to prolonged QT, which can cause death in you. Not inherited, acquired by the drug as a side effect. And they tell you cardiac arrhythmia is another commonly reported side effect of these drugs. In every one of these research studies, they never tell you the brand names of these drugs. They only list the generics. Do you want to know why they do that in research studies? Because if I show this to you or anybody else does, they know the common people who are prescribed these brand name drugs don't know these generic names. So they don't put two and two together. So I, Dr. Brian Artis, here at the Dr. Artis Show, am about to put it all together for you. Ready? It's going to be as clear as day. So citalopram, would you like to know what drug that is? That's Celexa. So there's what Celexa looks like. So do you guys know anybody on Celexa? Did you know Celexa causes acquired cardiac arrhythmias? Tachycardia, bradycardia, atrial fibrillation. Did you know that? That can also be life-threatening. Did you know Celexa does that? No, they didn't want you to see Celexa, the name there. They want you to see the generic name. What is fluoxetine? Oh, that's Prozac. Prozac causes severe life-threatening arrhythmias. Cardiac arrhythmias, anybody? Remember, stress leads to increased risk factor for strokes, heart attacks, and arrhythmias. What do they prescribe to people to reduce stress? Most commonly, these drugs. And they know these drugs cause cardiac arrhythmias, which you're going to be told after you start taking this drug that your arrhythmias, your tachycardia, atrial fibrillation, your tachycardia, it's inherited. Nope. No. These are published side effects of these drugs. Prozac is one of the most well-known drugs, but they're not going to put Prozac's word in the research study. No, they're going to use fluoxetine. But notice on the label, I highlighted for you where the fluoxetine word is. It's right underneath Prozac. Now, what about sertraline? Oh, that's Zoloft. How many people do you know on Zoloft? How many people on Zoloft that you know also are on heart drugs, being told they have cardiovascular disease? Was it after they were put on sertraline called Zoloft? And what about fluvoxamine? Oh, that's Luvox. These are just five. I told you there's six. Actually, there's only four, sorry. These are four. I'm going to show you six that they know does this. Certain patients are at a considerably higher risk of drug-induced QT prolongation and susceptibility to arrhythmias following the administration of SSRIs. This is very, very important. I just showed you guys multiple American Heart Association documentation and articles publishing the direct effects of stress, anxiety, panic, leading to cardiovascular disease. The drugs the same cardiologist and other MDs are going to prescribe to you when you are stressed are SSRIs most of the time, and those drugs, read it, cause a considerable higher risk of drug-induced QT prolongation and susceptibility to arrhythmias following the administration of SSRIs. Ask your psychiatrist when they prescribe SSRIs for your depression if cardiovascular disease is right for you. The experiment revealed that citalopram, Celexa, exhibited the highest signal intensity, suggesting a higher, greater likelihood of QT prolongation than the other drugs, which can be attributed to the drug Celexa causing ventricular repolarization impairment induced by its metabolite didesmethylserotinidol. Just in case you're wondering how to tell your doctor, your cardiologist, how Celexa is causing you to develop arrhythmias. And if you have a cardiologist you're working with and you're on any of these drugs, you should be forwarding this presentation to them right now and telling them to get you off that damn drug. So here's citalopram, brand name Celexa. It's a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, which is what SSRIs are. And you'll see down there, Celexa, called citalopram, is a prescription medicine used in adults to treat depression from drugs.com. It's also used to treat major depressive disorder. National case control studies have demonstrated that citalopram, Celexa, carries the highest risk of inducing torsade de pointes, a cardiac arrhythmia scenario, among all drugs. Researcher Scott R. in his group study reveals that aripiprazole appears to have a dose-dependent effect on QT prolongation among other individual drugs, which is smaller than citalopram's effect. I didn't even go look into that drug. But you can go look that up. Look up what is aripiprazole's brand name, and you'll see it. The results of a randomized, double-blind, thorough QT study indicated that there is a significant increase in QT prolongation, arrhythmias of the heart, with escalating concentrations of acetyl. It's citalopram, E-S, citalopram. Okay, I'm about to show you what that drug is too, don't you worry. That's one of the six I'm about to show you. Just remember, you got citalopram and then E-S, citalopram, which is a different drug I'm going to show you. And you're going to know a lot of people on it. Based on case reports, fluoxetine, Prozac, has been linked to torsade de pointes, QT prolongation, cardiac arrhythmias, as a potent inhibitor C of CYP2D6 pathways. Fluoxetine, which is Prozac, may cause pharmacokinetic interactions that result in side effects, by the way, which results in a synergistic effect of QT prolongation, arrhythmias, when used concurrently with the other drug they just mentioned, CYP2D6 inhibitors that also prolong QT waves. Our study, this is where you're about to be introduced to another very common drug for antidepressant. Our study has revealed that citalopram, escitalopram, fluoxetine, fluvoxamine, and sertraline, five common SSRIs, are associated with the development of heart disease called cardiomyopathy and high blood pressure. Wait. SSRIs, which lower depression, are linked to causing high blood pressure? All high blood pressure, you are told, is caused by genetics. 100% of you. Which is why you're told to take your lisinopril, enalapril, captopril for the rest of your life, because you can't do anything about your genetics. Liars. Did you know these SSRIs cause high blood pressure every day you take them? Well, five common SSRIs are associated with the development of cardiomyopathy and hypertension. These are the five. And I have the arrows from the generic name at the top to the brand names on the bottom. So what you're going to see is the ES citalopram, that's Lexapro, everybody. You see it on the screen? So you have Zoloft, Celexa, Lexapro, Prozac, and Luvox. These are all associated with the development of heart disease called cardiomyopathy and hypertension. Ask your psychiatrist if heart disease, the number one or two killer of all Americans, is right for you when they prescribe you Zoloft, Celexa, Lexapro, Prozac, or Luvox for your stress and anxiety and depression. Isn't this shocking? You're about to learn of another one. There's one other super common antidepressant that you're about to learn about, which is not an SSRI, but all of you know it. I'm about to show you also, it is linked directly to heart failure. Insane. I just want y'all to screenshot this because I know y'all all know millions of people that are on these drugs right now. Some people are on multiple of these and then later on have heart attacks. And every time they have a heart attack, you know what they say? You just inherited this. It's genetics. How come people that die of heart disease after being put on these drugs by their psychiatrist? I would like to know how come no coroner has ever written death caused by side effects of Zoloft, Celexa, Lexapro, Prozac, or Luvox? No, what they all write is died of congestive heart failure or cardiovascular disease or a heart attack. Why don't they write died from cardiovascular disease caused by Zoloft, Celexa, Lexapro, Prozac, or Luvox? When medical science knows they are directly causing heart disease. Prenatal exposure, babies in the womb, to Prozac can have detrimental effects on the baby's development. Well, what do you think it does to you? Potentially leading to heart disease in the baby. What? Ask your doctor if a baby with heart disease is right for you. And your baby. In one documented case, the use of Prozac was found to trigger Takotsubo cardiomyopathy, heart disease under stressful circumstances. Additionally, there have been suspicions raised about fluvoxamine's involvement in cardiomyopathy. Well, which one was fluvoxamine? Do you remember? Fluvoxamine is the one on the far right, Luvox. A number of studies have suggested a potential relationship with the drug's direct toxic effect on heart cells called cardiomyocytes, the cells responsible for your heart beating. That's what these drugs do. SSRIs, all the ones I just showed you on the screen, Prozac, Celexa, Lexapro, Luvox, you name it, may influence ion channels and metabolism in heart cells called cardiac myocytes, leading to their injury and death. Transient ischemic attack, anybody? Heart attacks? Come on. Myocardial infarction, anybody? Death of heart muscle? Do you want that? That's what these SSRIs do. These drugs may impact intracellular calcium concentration in heart cells, which in turn can affect their contraction and relaxation of the muscle, which is the heartbeat. Contraction, contraction, relax it. Contraction, relaxation. This is the heartbeat. These drugs interact with the calcium channels. Calcium initiates a heart muscle to contract. Magnesium relaxes it. They're telling you these drugs interact with these channels for calcium and magnesium, ultimately resulting in abnormal cardiac function and heart disease. Moreover, SSRIs may also affect the regulatory function of your autonomic nervous system, resulting in an impact on cardiac function and cardiomyopathy. Your brain controls your heart and its heart's rhythm. They know SSRIs impact the brain that controls the heart and also damages the heart cells' ability to contract and absorb calcium and magnesium. This is how it creates arrhythmias, everybody. Isn't this exciting? Aren't you glad you're hanging out with Dr. Artis? Oh my God, I could not wait to present the information about these drugs that cause the answer from the medical profession for stress and anxiety, which they know causes heart disease, is antidepressants, which they just showed you. The five most common SSRIs cause heart disease and high blood pressure. So disgusting. All right, this is from the Journal of Tehran University Heart Center, Tehran. Cardiovascular considerations in antidepressant therapy, an evidence-based review. Cardiovascular disease considerations with antidepressants. MAOIs, which is another form of antidepressants, you see the generic names there, were the first antidepressants ever used in clinical practice. Cardiovascular adverse events are usually seen within 12 to 24 hours. Whoa. Heart problems with those drugs are usually seen within 12 to 24 hours after the MAOIs reach their toxic levels. Interesting. Hypotension, low blood pressure, which cause you to faint and pass out like POTS, and tachycardia are frequently experienced under MAOI's use. Do you know hypotension, POTS, tachycardia are also blamed on genetics? Did you know that they are frequently, the word is frequently in this medical research study published by the NIH, frequently caused by these antidepressants? In more detail, transcyclopramine can lead to symptomatic hypotension or a mild decrease in diastolic blood pressure. High doses of phenelazine may cause acute myocarditis. What? The horrible, deadly side effect of the COVID-19 vaccines called myocarditis is caused by phenylexine? You should ask your doctor if that's right for you. And the manifestations of phenelazine toxicity include agitation, seizures, tachycardia, and hypertension, all of which people are told is genetic. However, hypotension has been reported as well. Moclobemide overdose can result in overdose, whatever that means, whatever they figure is the right dose, anything over that, can result in QT prolongation, predisposing to ventricle tachyarrhythmias and torsade de pointes. TCAs, these are another form, tricyclic antidepressants. Can't wait to go through these with you. Tricyclic antidepressants, emapramine, amitriptyline, nortriptyline, disipramine, amoxapine, clomipramine, doxepine, mepropionate were the first line of treatment for depression before the introduction of SSRIs. Cardiovascular complications from TCAs, tricyclic antidepressants, have been reported not only in patients with cardiovascular disease before they got the drug, but also in people with no prior history of cardiac diseases. Let's just focus on that, shall we? Let's look at the names. What are the brand names, the generic names of TCA antidepressants called tricyclic antidepressants? Look up there at the top. You will see the generic names to the left, amitriptyline, nortriptyline. You've heard of these, but you'll see the brand names to the right. Tofranil, nopramine, sermatil, aventil, triptazil, cinequin, anafrenil, iodamil. These are the brand names. Read the statement below. Cardiovascular complications of tricyclic antidepressants for stress and anxiety and negative emotions have been reported not only in patients with cardiovascular disease, but also in people with no prior history of cardiac disease. That means they had no genetic predisposition for heart disease. They had no signs of heart disease. A psychiatrist or a doctor put them on these drugs for anxiety and depression, and then they developed heart disease from the drugs. Cardiovascular complications from TCAs have been reported in people with no prior history of cardiac diseases. Ask your psychiatrist if heart disease is right for you when they prescribe any of these generic or name brand tricyclic antidepressants. Now let's go back to the SSRIs. They name them citalopram, escitalopram, fluoxetine, fluvoxamine, sertraline, and then a new one, paroxetine. This is the sixth one. I couldn't wait to show you. Are the first line antidepressant agents. This is the go-to for the medical profession. If you are stressed, you are sad, you have negative thoughts, you are angry, it is these are the first line antidepressant agents now. Nevertheless, orthostatic hypotension, POTS, mild bradycardia, and conduction, heartbeat, nerve impulses to the heart, abnormalities such as QT prolongation have been reported under SSRI use. Time to show you what paroxetine is. That's Paxil. So now you have Lexapro, Celexa, Prozac, Paxil included. Interesting. Now we're going to go to what's called SNRIs. Serotonin, norepinephrine, reabsorption inhibitors. And you see their generic names there. Venlafaxine, desvenlafaxine, reboxetine, duoxetine. Hold on. Sorry. Have many similarities with SSRIs in terms of basic mechanism of action and clinical side effects. All right, so what are SNRIs? These are the brand names and generic names. Generic names are on the left. The most common brand names are on the right. You've seen all these. Pristique, Cymbalta, Effexor, Fetzima, and Savella. Primarily, you've seen Pristique, Cymbalta, and Effexor. These are brand name SNRIs for stress, anxiety, and depression. Read it. It says they have the same clinical side effects as SSRIs, the Paxils, the Prozacs. All right, let's see what they say about these drugs called SNRIs. Also inhibit the reuptake of norepinephrine from the synaptic cleft, the nerve junction, resulting in increased neurotransmission. Increased levels of norepinephrine and serotonin can accelerate cardiac sympathetic activity. That is the side effect of SSRIs and SNRIs. Increased serotonin can accelerate cardiac heart sympathetic activity, stress on the heart, leading to a mild increase in heart rate and systemic blood pressure. Apparently, excessive sympathetic stimulation may cause dangerous tachyarrhythmias and or hypertension crisis. Really? Yes. And these are the side effects of SNRIs and SSRIs for negative emotions. Did you learn anything? Was that amazing? Do you know anybody on those drugs? Do you know anybody on those drugs who's also been diagnosed with cardiovascular disease? Or has had heart attacks, strokes, tachycardia, atrial fibrillation? Do you know? Blood clotting? All right, it's time to dive into what I recommend. I love this stuff. All right, so without the horrible side effects for negative emotions, what do I recommend for heart disease? Even when you're stressed. Googling the Google, you know, our Google resin extract. Oh, I love this stuff. This is from Frontiers in Drug Studies. Drug studies is the Latin word pharmacology. Frontiers in Drug Studies. Googling the Google, Comafora, Muckle, and Boswellia for the prevention of chronic diseases. This is the Boswellia plant on the bottom. Comafora, Muckle is the tree at the top, which is where we get our Google resin extract from in our incredible supplement online. Now, I want to summarize for you how many research studies by medical doctors, researchers, and pharmaceutical companies and governments have been done on these two Google-containing plants. According to PubMed, there are 449 research studies on Comafora Muckle tree, Google, and 519 on Boswellia, and 207 on the Google sterone, that is the steroid the natural steroid inside of Google resin that's in these plants, 329 on boswellic acid, which is inside the Boswellia plant, and 90 on Google, the resin or sap from the Comafora Muckle tree, with the earliest being in the 1960s, describing the anti-arthritic, autoimmune disease, arthritis, anybody, and anti-inflammatory activity of the gum called Google. G-U-G-G-U-L. Google exhibited profound, not minimal, profound cardioprotective effects, heart protective effects, as well as in human studies. It decreased phospholipase, which I found amazing. Phospholipase, do y'all remember what was causing the blood clotting in the COVID-19 vaccines? Snake venom, phosphodiesterase, and then they found that in COVID-19 positive patients was phospholipase A2 isolated by the University of Arizona. They figured out that people dying in hospitals from COVID had high levels of a snake venom protein called phospholipase A2. They said in their study, it looked like venom coursing through their body, COVID patients who died in hospitals, because there was so much of this venom, phospholipase A2. Google decreases phospholipase in humans' bloodstreams. And it lowers total cholesterol levels in the blood. And it increases the anti-inflammatory, amazing healing superoxide dismutase. And it increases myocardial heart antioxidant activity. As well as, read the last statement, reversed the heart damage induced by a drug in different studies called isoproterenol. They can drug-induce heart disease and they used Google to reverse it. How amazing is that? The hypolipidemic, the lowering of cholesterol effect of Google, has also been well studied in different animal models and humans. This is how Google lowers lipidemia via inhibition. This is cholesterol via what's called the FXR activation. So just remember this. Don't try to memorize this. This is the nerdy stuff. Google diminishes hyperlipidemia via inhibition of FXR activation. What they did is they took high-fat diet-fed mice, they treated them with Google sterones, and it improved their blood sugar, in fasting conditions, plasma insulin level improved, their insulin levels improved, glucose tolerance, the ability to break down sugar improved, and their level of harmful lipids went down, which is high cholesterol went down. So the bad cholesterol called LDL cholesterol went down. That's the harmful lipids and triglycerides. Notably, Google, this is in the cardiovascular diseases section, notably, Google presents a potent remedy for cardiovascular diseases. Ask your cardiologist if Google resin extract is right for you, because it is. For example, Singh and his group conducted a study to evaluate the heart protective benefits of Google by enrolling 200 patients suffering from ischemic heart disease. The patients were treated with the combination of gum Google and a plant called Inula racemosa for 6 months, which resulted in the reduced levels of total cholesterol, triglycerides, and total blood lipids in the patients. It also restored the normal ECG reading. Their electrocardiogram went to normal in 26% of all the patients. That's one in four. In 6 months, it showed improvement in ECG in 60% of all the patients, and it lessened the chest pain in another 25% of the patients. Google extract by itself, made by God and Mother Nature. Now, in Wiley's online library of medical research studies underneath the cardiovascular drug review is this research study, therapeutic effects of Google and its constituent called Googlesterone, which is the number one ingredient in our Google resin, and its cardiovascular benefits. Googlesterone happens to be a type of steroid identified that heals the heart, lowers cholesterol in everybody that takes it, every animal, every human. It's amazing and prevents against cardiovascular disease. And it lowers C-reactive protein, which is the marker for heart disease and heart attacks. So this is lowering blood cholesterol levels. The first animal study was conducted in rabbits over a period of 2 whole years in 1966. Rabbits were fed hydrogenated vegetable oil to raise their cholesterol levels. Now remember, these are rabbits. They're mammals just like you. They got livers just like you. If you feed them hydrogenated vegetable oil, their cholesterol goes up. Guess what happens to you? You're a mammal. One group of rabbits was given Google. At the end of this study, rabbits receiving Google after 2 years of taking the hydrogenated oil, then they gave them Google at the same time, one group of rats. At the end of the study, rabbits receiving Google had normal blood levels of cholesterol. Whereas in the control rabbits who were just given the vegetable oil, those cholesterol levels and lipids were elevated. More importantly, rabbits treated with Google showed no fatty streaks or plaque deposits in their arteries, whereas those diseases were observed in the animals given just the vegetable oil. This is a little secret, everybody. You want to keep eating like crap? You want to keep eating your processed foods, going to fast food chains? You might want to start taking Google to prevent the damage of plaque deposits. Read the words. No plaque deposit showed up in the Google group taking the same amount of crappy food for 2 years. Only the rabbits that took the crappy food and no Google resin, they had fatty deposits, plaque deposits in their arteries and in their heart. Ask your cardiologist if Google resin is right for you. Ask your medical doctor who says you have high cholesterol if Google resin is right for you. It is. It's amazing. Most of the subsequent animal studies were conducted in rats. Consistent results were obtained with Googlesterone at doses ranging from 5 to 100 milligrams per kilogram of body weight. Googlesterone at 25 milligrams per kilogram lowered blood cholesterol levels and triglycerides by 27% and 30% respectively. What? You want to mess with your medical doctor. When they prescribe you Lipitor, Crestor, or any other statin drug, go to the Dr. Artist Show, buy our Google resin extract, and take two of those capsules every day. And then 3 months later, go back. You're going to see your cholesterol level improve 27% and 30% respectively, just like it just said here. And your medical doctor is going to go, so great job taking your Lipitor. And then you get to look at them and go, I didn't take your crappy drug. What'd you do? I took Googlesterone from Dr. Artis. And then maybe he should start carrying his office. Less side effects. Every statin drug is known to cause cancer. It's a published carcinogen. You want to reduce your risk of cancer, you probably shouldn't swallow cancer-causing chemicals. Google resin doesn't do that. And look at the period. It was after a treatment period as short as 10 days. They just took Googlesterone for 10 days. Not months. With the decrease in cholesterol and triglycerides, LDL cholesterol binding to hepatic cell membranes was significantly increased. That's the ability to break down LDLs. In Triton-fed rats, glucosterone at a dose of 50 milligrams significantly decreased blood levels of cholesterol. In cholesterol-fed rats, glucosterone at a dose of 5 milligrams for just 30 days, it decreased bad cholesterol called LDL and very low-density lipoprotein. You'll see VLDL on your blood work. Another study, Fisher rats were fed a diet containing 1 to 5.6% glucolipid for just 10 days. The glucolipid dose dependently decreased blood levels of triglycerides by 22 to 70%, whereas the total blood levels of cholesterol was increased by 8 to 23%. Now, pay attention here. Do not think for a second they're going to tell you that total cholesterol went up and that's bad for you. Watch what they say. Further analysis of the blood levels of these cholesterol numbers, when they saw it went up by 8 to 23% in just 10 days, look at what they found. Further analysis of the blood cholesterol levels that went up indicated that the increase in total cholesterol was due to the increase in HDL cholesterol, the good cholesterol, whereas LDL, the bad cholesterol, and VLDL were actually decreased. There is not a single statin drug on earth that raises HDL cholesterol. They only lower LDL and triglycerides to some degree, and VLDL. That's it. The bad cholesterol. What prevents you from having heart attacks and plaque buildup and atherosclerosis is increase in HDL, the good cholesterol. And Google extract raises HDL so high that even the total cholesterol came up and they're like, wait. We've seen enough studies where Google brings it all down. What did it really do? Which cholesterols went up to make up the total cholesterol that went up by 8 to 23%? It was because it raised HDL so high that the total cholesterol went up because of the massive amount of HDL, but actually LDL and LDL, the bad cholesterol, went down. That is incredible. If you have any concerns about cholesterol, you should be on Google Resin Extract. Your heart will thank you. And I will be happy sleeping at night knowing that you're living, taking something that I know is all natural, organic, which is what our Google Resin is. We get it from a very specific farm out in the Middle East, actually. In one study, hyperlipidemia was induced by feeding rats. They raised cholesterol levels, this Triton diet, at a dose of 200 milligrams per day. One group of rats received glucosterone, 100 milligrams. At the end of the experiment, glucosterone reduced the total blood cholesterol by 42%. Triglycerides went down by 24% and phospholipids by 34%. Rats received Google at a 50 milligram per kilogram dose for 45 days. Glucosterone in this study reduced significantly the blood levels of cholesterol, triglycerides, phospholipids, and atherogenic index, atherosclerosis. In addition, free fatty acids in the blood, liver, and heart was also significantly decreased. What? Less fatty liver? Man. Whereas lipolytic activity was increased in liver and heart, breaking down the lipids. This study also found, lipids are fats, the study also found that fecal excretion of bile acids and sterols was significantly increased by 57% and 75% respectively. Anybody worried about improving how their liver functions and detoxes? Bile's made by the liver. It's pumped into the gallbladder. You excrete it to break down proteins and fats. They're telling you, you take Google, it increases the liver's ability to detox and remove excess bile. You want to prevent gallstones? You want to improve the breakdown of protein and fat so you don't get fat? You just get energy? Glucosterone. In this other study, mice were fed a high-fat diet containing 2% cholesterol to raise their cholesterol levels. One group of mice received glucosterone at a dose of 100 milligrams for 7 days, whereas the other group was treated with the vehicle, whatever their control was. Mice receiving glucosterone showed significantly decreased liver cholesterol levels in comparison with the control mice that received the cholesterol-containing diet only, which was the vehicle. So now going into clinical studies, a number of clinical trials have been conducted to evaluate with humans the lowering of cholesterol effect of glucolipid. Most of these studies demonstrated the lowering effect of cholesterol activity of Google or glucolipid with an average of 10 to 30% lower cholesterol and 10 to 20% decrease in total cholesterol and triglycerides, respectively. However, individual variations in responding to Google treatment have been noted with approximately a 70 to 80% of the responders responding well to glucolipid. 70 to 80% see improvements? That's amazing. a total of 120 patients in this randomized controlled double-blind trial that we're about to read their summary. They had 120 patients with high cholesterol were enrolled in this study. Google gum at 2 grams twice a day or a fraction of it at 500 milligrams three times a day for 21 days, only 21 days, significantly reduced the blood levels of cholesterol in the hyperlipidemic non-obese patients. So they just had non-obese, high cholesterol patients, put them on Google, and it didn't matter what form they took. Two doses, 2 grams twice a day or 500 milligrams three times a day, which is not 2 grams. That's 1,500 milligrams, which is 1.5 grams, less than the 2 gram other group. They saw in 21 days a significant reduction in their cholesterol levels. In 10 healthy volunteers, Google Stilrone at 25 milligrams twice a day for 8 weeks significantly lowered the blood levels of cholesterol. So what you've seen now are 6 month studies, 8 week studies, 6 week studies. You've seen 10 day studies. And in every case, it's amazing. Here's, I think, the last study here. A study with 48 patients was conducted in 1979. Google extracts were 500 milligrams three times a day. That's 1,500 milligrams, 1.5 grams for 4 weeks only, 1 month. Significantly reduced both the total cholesterol and triglyceride levels. Now, threatening this is the Lipitor and Crestor, Pfizer, who makes Lipitor. Another study enrolled 85 patients with hyperlipidemia, high blood cholesterol. They used a fraction A of Google Stilrone at a dose of 500 milligrams three times a day for 12 weeks, 3 months, and significantly decreased total cholesterol levels in comparison with the start of the trial. In the third study with 40 patients, Google was given at 4.5 grams a day for just 4 months, 16 weeks, significantly decreased total cholesterol and triglyceride levels when compared with the beginning of the trial. To conclude from their summary of looking at Google's impact on cholesterol and heart disease, Google and Google Lipid have a long history in the treatment of cardiovascular diseases, not a short history, a long history in the treatment of cardiovascular diseases, including high cholesterol and atherosclerosis. Preclinical and clinical studies largely support the therapeutic claims for Google prescribed in the ancient Ayurveda. Ask your doctor if Google's right for you. The cardiovascular therapeutic benefits of Google and Google Stilrone appear to be due to its multiple pharmacological activities, notably its ability to lower cholesterol, being an antioxidant, and anti-inflammatory effects for arthritis. For the lowering of cholesterol activity, individual variations in responding to Google treatment are consistently observed in clinical trials. The majority of everybody responds really well to Google in these trials. Now, this is from Springer Natural. This is another medical online journal. And you can find this research study titled Google Stilrone, an anti-inflammatory plant-based sterol, which is what it is, a plant-based chemical. It inhibits what's called tissue factor and arterial thrombosis. Do you all know what arterial thrombosis is? A blood clot in your arteries? What? Amazing. Google Stilrone inhibited tumor necrotic factor A, induced endothelial tissue factor protein expression and surface activity in a concentration-dependent manner. The more Google we gave, the lower their thrombosis and damage to their arteries were. In contrast, when they used a steroid called dexamethasone, it did not affect the tumor necrotic alpha-induced tissue factor expression to lead to arterial hardening and thrombosis. The drugs, the prescription drugs, didn't have this effect, but Google did. Google Stilrone inhibited tissue factor activity and photochemical injury, induced thrombotic occlusion of mouse carotid arteries. So they were able to induce blood clots in a mouse in their carotid arteries, and Google Stilrone protected it from doing it. Google Stilrone also stopped tissue factor expression, the growth rate called proliferation, and the movement, the migration of vascular smooth muscle cells in a concentration-dependent manner. The more you use, the better your heart health and artery health is. Google Stilrone inhibits tissue factor expression in blood vessel cells, as well as thrombus formation, blood clots, in vivo, in human trials. Moreover, it impairs vascular smooth cell activation, leading to atherosclerosis. Hence, this plant-based chemical offers Google offers novel therapeutic options, in particular in inflammatory diseases associated with an increase of thrombosis, blood clots and strokes. Anybody? Okay, let's just focus here. Let's just shorten the whole summary. Googlesterone inhibits thrombus formation. What is thrombus formation? Thrombus, according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, read it, a clot of blood formed within a blood vessel and remaining attached in its place of origin. So it's stuck in an artery and it's just sitting there. A blood clot's just sitting there. It's not moving. It hasn't moved and broke apart, going into the brain or the heart to cause a heart attack or stroke. It's just in there. A DVT, deep vein thrombosis, is an example. Googlesterone inhibits blood clot formation, everybody. How many of you know somebody on warfarin, Coumadin, heparin? Did you know Googlesterone does it? There's our Google resident. Just wanted to show you. Googlesterone, which is the only thing we put in Google resin, our Google resin extract. Googlesterone inhibits, stops blood clotting formation. You're welcome. Ask your cardiologist if Google resin is right for you. From Curious, the medical online journal, the connection between magnesium and heart health, understanding its impact on cardiovascular wellness. So we've hammered at Googlesterones and its impact on cardiovascular health. Now we're going to show you magnesium, probably my favorite mineral outside of selenium and copper, probably. Magnesium improves the function of the heart system by acting on membrane ion flow pumps, encouraging endothelium, the inner lining of your blood vessels, dependent blood vessel dilation, which keeps your blood pressure normal, reducing blood pressure, reducing inflammation, and boosting insulin and glucose breakdown. Yeah, magnesium helps all of you too, diabetics and heart disease patients. Magnesium blocks coronary vessel spasm, which raises blood pressure and strokes, plays a critical function in regulating vascular muscle tone and consequently systemic arterial blood pressure, the upper number on your blood pressure, and provides protection against stimulated activity through its antagonistic impact on two calcium channels. Everybody listen to me. Cardiac arrhythmias, heart attacks, you will hear of a common prescribed drug by cardiologists to you and your loved ones called calcium channel blockers. Do you know what the problem with that is? They're blocking cells of the heart from absorbing calcium, which is what allows the heart to contract. So to fix the arrhythmias or the increase in heartbeats, they block calcium from going into the heart. Do you know the only reason why the heart would do that is if it's magnesium deficient? Calcium causes the heart to contract. Magnesium takes it out of contraction and causes the heart to relax. When you're deficient in magnesium, you get excess heartbeats. So they decide drug-wise to block calcium when in fact they should be giving you magnesium, which is what you're learning here. Magnesium is also essential for the exchange of potassium for protons. Proton pumps, anybody? You need magnesium, as well as for preventing potassium loss. This process is impaired by low levels of magnesium in the blood, which also encourages the increase of cytoplasmic sodium and calcium levels, which leads to worsening heart attacks. Cardiologist Thomas E. Levy has written a book called Death by Calcium, which is why you'll never see Dr. Artis sell a calcium supplement, like a singular calcium. I will never do that, ever, ever. The excess of calcium inside the cells is linked to cardiac ischemia. This is why I don't do it, which negatively impacts heart function. In addition to competing for the same binding sites as calcium, magnesium might restrict the extent of the infarct, the heart attack, by minimizing coronary vessel contractions, lowering damage from oxidation after the heart attack, and enhancing endothelial-dependent, inside of your arteries-dependent dilation of blood vessels through the production of nitrous oxide, which I hope you've all learned is extremely important during myocardial ischemia. In fact, we have a product at the Dr. R Show, a trusted partner called HydroShot. I drink it every day. One, because it increases our nitric oxide. In a study conducted by Abbott and his team, they took 7,000 men aged 45 to 68 in Honolulu Heart Program, where 24-hour food recall techniques were employed to assess magnesium intake. Both studies discovered a link between a lower incidence of coronary heart disease, CHD, and a higher dietary magnesium consumption. Men who consumed magnesium-rich foods had a much lower incidence of coronary heart disease. Zhang reported results from the Japan collaborative study, which involved 58,000 Japanese adults in the age group 40 to 79, whose dietary magnesium consumption was measured by food frequency questionnaires. I want to highlight this, everybody. Food magnesium intake was found to be inversely linked with death from coronary heart disease and strokes. Magnesium intake was found to be inversely linked to death from coronary heart disease and strokes. The more magnesium they ate, the lower their risk of death from coronary heart disease and ischemic strokes. The less magnesium they ate, the higher their risk for death from coronary heart disease and ischemic strokes. Ask your cardiologist if death, avoiding death, is right for you. And that's why you're taking magnesium. If you start taking magnesium complex from the Dr. R Show and your medical doctor wants to know why, you say, because I want to lower my risk of death. Is that okay with you? And that should be okay with your medical doctor, because they'll get more copays as you come in, and they'll be able to bill your insurance for longer, the longer you live, and avoid death. It actually financially benefits your medical doctor if you take magnesium in Google. Relationship between, this is the Journal of the American Heart Association, everybody. You ever heard of that group? The richest heart association, the medical association in the whole world. The relationship between dietary magnesium intake and the incidence of heart failure among older women. Are you an older woman? You might want to watch this. This is the World Health Initiative, by the way. Potential mechanisms of the association between magnesium intake and heart failure hospitalizations can be several. There's several reasons why magnesium being low and you not taking enough of it can lead to heart failure hospitalization. And there's several mechanisms. Would you like to know what they are? I would like to tell you what low magnesium intake, supplement-wise, food-wise, how it leads to heart failure hospitalizations. These are medical. This is the American Heart Association, everybody. They know the lower the magnesium is you take, your risk for heart failure and being hospitalized goes up. And they even know how it works. Why do cardiologists not recommend magnesium? Low levels in dietary magnesium have been associated with risk factors of heart failure, such as coronary disease, left ventricular hypertrophy, which is why everybody's put on a pacemaker, insulin resistance, diabetes mellitus, high blood pressure, and atrial fibrillation, which over time could lead to heart failure. That's what magnesium deficiency does. In fact, the American Heart Association is quoting here, we have seen left ventricular failure is the number one cause for heart disease, congestive heart failure. A one-time infusion, just one intravenous injection of elemental magnesium has been shown to acutely decrease left ventricular filling pressures. One dose. They see the heart improve with one dose of magnesium. What? Based on the U.S. recommended daily allowance of dietary magnesium, which is 320 milligrams per day for non-pregnant women over 30, the implications of our study are large, because 75% of postmenopausal women in this center, in this study, have a magnesium intake lower than 320 milligrams, and it's at 272 milligrams is their average, which is below the recommended daily allowance level. And listen, everybody, and our results suggest that a quarter, 25% of postmenopausal women that were included in this study, which is all of you at home, are at an increased risk of incident of heart failure on the basis of their dietary magnesium intake. A quarter, 25% of postmenopausal women are at an increased risk of developing heart failure simply because they do not consume enough magnesium. I'm going to blow that up. Our results suggest that a quarter, 25%, one in four of all postmenopausal women are at an increased risk of incidence of heart failure simply on the basis of their dietary magnesium intake. Are you taking magnesium? Are you postmenopausal? You might want to get on it, unless you think heart failure is right for you. The Atherosclerosis Risk and Communities study demonstrated that low blood levels of magnesium were associated with the development of the incident of heart failure. If you have low levels of magnesium, you know their risk for heart failure goes up. They know this. This is Frontiers Medical Journal, the effect of magnesium intake on stroke incidents. Let's check it out. What do they say about strokes? You worried about strokes? Have you been told strokes run in your family? Are you worried about having a stroke and being paralyzed? Strokes suck. Ask my good friend, Dr. Sherry Timpany. Strokes suck. She has miraculously recovered, but ask her if that didn't suck. Based on 7 studies, Larson and his team found an 8% reduction in total strokes and 9% reduction in ischemic stroke, along with 100 milligrams per day increases in magnesium. All right, there's almost a 10% reduced episodes of strokes if you just took 100 milligrams a day of magnesium or increased it to 100 milligrams per day. New evidence related to 2 groups was entered into the present analysis, and the results significantly changed. Okay, listen, they found up above 8% reduction in total stroke, which you might be sitting there going, well, that's not a whole lot. Really? What they found was when they went into the study, it was way more significant than what was published. New evidence related to those 2 groups they were studying was entered into the present analysis, and the results significantly changed. A Mediterranean diet rich in magnesium is preferred by Western populations, including those in North America and Europe. The risk of coronary heart disease was significantly reduced, particularly in males compared to females, the more magnesium-rich foods. The reason females achieved more benefits in preventing total stroke is still unclear. This may be because females consumed more magnesium-rich diets in the primarily included studies, and studies have shown that individual blood pressures is well controlled by magnesium in females. Do you know any females with high blood pressure or uncontrolled high blood pressure? It has been found in medical studies that females and their blood pressure respond very well to magnesium. Our definitive study with transient stroke association showed magnesium intake has an inverse association with total strokes in a dose response pattern. The more magnesium, the lower the strokes. Additionally, it may also have a mild but not significant inverse association with hemorrhage strokes, bleeding out in your brain. Subarachnoid hemorrhage and intracerebral hemorrhage. They see a correlation. It's just not as significant in the studies. Magnesium consumption herein may be recommended as an optimization for stroke prevention or management. Ask your cardiologist if magnesium complex is right for you. Now, one of my favorite, really truly nutrients that a lot of people don't talk about. This is found in vegetables, but a lot of people don't talk about this. It's lost in your sweat. It's in our new complete, our Hydrate Complete. The American Journal of Clinical Nutrition has published betaine in human nutrition. And in the heart health section, a series of papers, they list 4 there, showed that a combination of betaine and a plant derivative called glycosiamine improves the symptoms of subjects with chronic illness, including heart disease, without any toxicity, no side effects. Overall treatment led to an improved sense of well-being, less fatigue, well-being, everybody, that's less negative emotions here. This is the actual thing. An improved sense of well-being, less fatigue, greater strength and endurance, and increased desire for physical and mental work. Depressed people don't want to do that, man. They're not motivated. So betaine helped improve that. Even their mental health and ambition and motivation. Subjects with heart decompensation, arteriosclerosis, or rheumatic diseases, rheumatoid arthritis, anybody? And congestive heart failure had improved cardiac function with betaine. Subjects gained weight, improved nitrogen balance, and reported less symptoms of arthritis and asthma, and increased libido. What? And those with high blood pressure experienced transient continued reduction in their blood pressure with betaine. Glucose tolerance increased in both diabetic subjects and subjects without diabetes. Ask your doctor if betaine's right for you, because our Hydrate Complete has betaine in it. Morrison and his team concluded that atherosclerosis is a preventative metabolic error. It is not genetically inherited. Read it again. Medical researchers concluded that atherosclerosis, number one cause of heart disease and death, is a preventable metabolic error, not inherited or genetic. He showed that betaine treatment of atherosclerosis improves the ratio of blood level phospholipids to blood cholesterol levels. The sense of well-being, exercise and activity, appetite, angina pain, dyspnea, which is shortness of breath, and libido, all improved. Morrison found betaine to be the most valuable and most effective blood cholesterol agent tested for the treatment in the human subject. Nothing is more powerful than betaine to correct cholesterol levels in the body of a human. Finally, a betaine lipotrope combination of betaine and choline, both of which are in our new Hydrate Complete. Liver extract, vitamin B12, also in our Hydrate Complete, and a low-fat, low-cholesterol diet led to an impressive decrease in the mortality, the death of subjects with atherosclerosis. There was a 25% reduction in death rate after 12 months in the control group, but no deaths reported at all in the group treated with betaine. Zero deaths. Zero. Zero, zero, zero. Is zero better than 25% reduction? Zero wins. Now, one of my favorite amino acids, which is also in our Hydrate Complete and also in a supplement called taurine. Taurine deficiency in the Journal of Pharmacological Sciences. Taurine deficiency. Low taurine destroyed by glyphosate. Any of you still eating non-organic veggies? Taurine deficiency associated with dilated cardiomyopathy and aging. What? Did you know taurine? It's really exciting. Taurine actually was proven to extend all people's lives who supplemented it. We have that on our website. Moise, a researcher and his team, reported that foxes with a history of death from dilated cardiomyopathy in a farm had different levels of taurine in their blood than those without. And that foxes with a history of death from dilated cardiomyopathy, heart disease, had lower levels of taurine in their blood. Taurine treatment with dilated cardiomyopathy improved the systolic function and other symptoms, indicating taurine deficiency causes cardiomyopathy in foxes. A farmer wanted to know why those foxes were dying of heart disease. They found the only thing they had was low taurine. Guess what the number one or two, number two killer from human beings, which are also mammals like foxes, is? Heart disease. Maybe taurine's right for you. I have all the human studies on our website. This is how taurine works. First, taurine deficiency has been reported to adversely affect calcium sensitivity of the heart. Beta-alanine and guanidinomethylsulfonate, GES, inhibit taurine transporter, which interfere with taurine uptake by the tissues, and tissue taurine level is decreased. So they figured out chemicals can block your ability to absorb taurine. These researchers reported that taurine-deficient muscles showed significant decrements in maximum calcium activation to contract the muscle strength by using papillary muscle from GES-treated mice. Concomitantly, another researcher reported that ventricular trabeculas from taurine, issues with your ventricles of your heart, from taurine-depleted rats exhibited significant reduction in isometric twitch force, the ability of the heart to quickly respond at all levels, suggesting the importance of intracellular taurine levels in excitation-contraction coupling, managing the heart's rhythm. Moreover, another researcher, Romilia, and his team reported that taurine depletion affects sarcoplasmic reticulum calcium ATPase activity associated with troponin phosphorylation in heart isolated from tau TKO mice. This is important. Do you know what the number one thing looked for in the blood to diagnose someone that had a heart attack is? Troponin levels. Romilia reported that taurine depletion increases troponin levels. Makes it look like you have a heart attack. Second, taurine deficiency may affect energy metabolism. Mazafari reported that taurine low levels stimulates the rate of glycolysis and lactate production by using drug-induced taurine-deficient rats. They were able to prove that. And thus, cardiac taurine depletion may impair the fatty acid oxidation to produce ATP. Hold on, everybody. What is ATP? Cellular energy. What does every heart muscle in your body need? ATP, energy to contract. The heart works harder than every other cell in your human body physically, and it has more mitochondria in every cell than any other cell in your entire body. Mitochondria are the little batteries that produce the fuel called ATP. Cardiac heart taurine depletion may impair fatty acid oxidation to produce ATP. If your heart is weak, if your heart is not working as well as it should, if you are chronically fatigued, taurine deficiency can be a cause. You might want to start supplementing with taurine. This is our Google resin extract. I wanted to show you that. We went through Google sterones and their ability to prevent heart disease, improve cholesterol levels, nothing more potent or safe. I showed you all the side effects of the antidepressants. This is our Cardio Flow. The first ingredient is Google resin. And yes, I recommend Cardio Flow and our Google resin extract. It's our magnesium complex. This is our Hydrate Complete. We'll zoom in here so you can see. We have the vitamin B12. We have the taurine. We have the choline. So exciting. Please scan this QR code. I know there's a lot of information here. This is negative emotions, how they impact and lead to cardiovascular disease, and natural solutions to consider. You want to improve your well-being. Like I just mentioned, we showed you taurine, betaine, which are both in our Hydrate Complete. We showed you Google resin extract. Oh, it's amazing. Please take this information along with magnesium and start implementing these into your life and watch your heart health improve and watch the energy and vitality of your life improve. This is our book, Moving Beyond the COVID-19 Lies. I hope you all have a copy. I'm Dr. Brian Artis. I hope you enjoyed this presentation. This was actually a profound amount of information that I think is very, very important to you. And remember, if anybody you know has been prescribed an SSRI, an SNRI, or a TCA antidepressant, you have now learned that you cannot avoid the increased risk of heart disease while taking those. Every one of those drugs are known and published to increase your risk of cardiovascular death, strokes, and heart failure. I'm Dr. Artis. We'll see you next time on The Dr. Artis Show. Thanks for watching this week's episode. Visit thedrartisshow.com/follow for my official social media channels and free healing resources. Beware of fraud accounts. Neither I nor my company will ever ask you for money, crypto, or personal information through your social media or DMs. Like this video and share with a friend. And if you're not already, subscribe and follow along so you don't miss any updates from me, the only real Dr. Brian Artis. And remember, nature always wins. We'll be right back.